Apes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
You ready?
Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go?
Dee-ba-dee-ba-doo. It's my guilty pleasure.
I know you're a Power Man fan.
Man, they had two good albums in that too.
They had two good albums?
Sure.
You are generous today.
Yes. Look, they were generous. Just always around. What can I say?
Hey, I mean, you like what you like. I like a lot of things that are definitely in the vein of Power Man 5000.
I promise you I like a lot of things better than them, and I like a lot of things worse than them. Wait,
nothing wrong with a good guilty pleasure.
That's right. That's why there is no such thing,
That's right. Dan.
Hi, Dan. How are you? We haven't talked about Dan in a long time.
Probably about since the last time we talked about Power Man 5000.
You know, that might actually be true.
It could very well be.
Dan, when I think of Power Man 5000, I think of you.
It's good, and it's because of that quote.
It is.
It's not because this is what happens when worlds collide.
That's true. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Because I'm ready to go.
I am ready to go.
What you gonna do?
A movie.
Oh, all right. Do you want to go first? You have, I know I could see what you have. I don't normally look, but I've seen.
You saw it.
You got a heavy hitter there. Do you need me to start us off?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, I need
you to lead us in. Massage us in.
I'm just ease in here with a movie that I love.
Oh.
It is worth pointing out, I did end up watching Deadpool Wolverine, but it was definitely too soon to do this as a rewind, so we're just going to pretend I didn't.
Okay.
So.
Just know out there, he's seen it.
I've seen it with my eyes. If you want to talk to me about it, I'll be like, yeah, whatever. Blood Diner.
Oh, baby.
Do you know Blood Diner?
I am familiar with Blood Diner.
Blood Diner is one of my favorite 80s horror movies.
I guess the title, if you want to call it that. I wouldn't call it a poster, but the title is so firmly ensconced in my brain.
Yes, it's got a good cover, a good poster. It's got a very silly premise, and we'll get there in 1 second. It is from 1987. And I watched it on the 19th of November, 2024. It's an hour 28. They didn't want to give it two more minutes. I don't understand. Your genres are dark comedy, parody, slapstick, comedy, horror. Directed by Jackie Kong, which you might not know is a woman after watching this movie. And that she directed pretty much four movies and was done.
I don't blame her on that one.
She did The Being, Underachievers, and her biggest one was Night Patrol, which got a lot of praise.
Nice.
But she doesn't, that's a straight comedy. She prefers horror.
Fair enough.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Four and done. Get in, get out, do your thing.
That's right.
I have one decade to get this over with.
Here we go.
Your cast includes Rick Burks, Carl Crew, Roger Daver, Lynette LaFrance, Lisa Elena, and your writer is Michael Saunier.
Saunier.
Your summary, your IMDb movie summary, two brothers are entrusted by their uncle to uphold the ritualistic cannibalism of the ancient cult of Shitar, praise be. In order to do so, they have to prepare a feast of sacrifice for the resurrection of their goddess.
That's right.
This movie is the perfect type of 80s movie because this is the type of movie, like I've said in previous episodes, this is a comedy on purpose.
Right.
This is not considered a comedy because it's awful and it falls into a silly category.
Right. It did such a bad job that you laugh at it, you laugh with it.
Correct. This movie is bonkers, and I absolutely adore it. I've tracked this down on DVD.
That's awesome.
I've made sure I own this movie after my initial watch of it.
That's way cool.
Michael Saunier originally pitched this to be a sequel to the movie Blood Feast from 1963.
Yep.
And it was kind of floating around Hollywood, and Kong found it and turned it into a comedy.
That's way fun.
The budget estimate for this movie is $300,000. So that being said, I think we have some really awesome practical effects in this movie.
Some lean and mean stuff.
That's right. The brothers are deranged. They're in their early 20s. They're running the diner. Their uncle passed away in a shootout when they were kids, which is the opening scene. And there is definitely a lot of gore in this movie, a lot of poorly made body parts on purpose. There's a lot of nudity. Please be aware, this is not going to be for everybody.
Right.
But it is part of the storyline because they're building a body for Shitar to take a hold of once she returns.
Right.
So there's a lot of women being killed in this movie, and they need to find a virgin to sacrifice to her. So there's a lot of women being vetted by these creepy dudes. But they're super silly. The one's like brain dead almost. He's the comic relief, and the other one's the smart one.
Right.
And he keeps the idiot brother keeps watching wrestling on his TV, and he's like, "I'm gonna go beat your ass at the Garden." And it's like he ends up actually wrestling the wrestler, who's like some Nazi character.
That's wild.
Who has like a marker Adolf Hitler kind of thing on his face.
That's right. That's two movies in a row for you where somebody markers a Hitler mustache onto themselves, because Smokin' Aces,
yeah,
they do that as well.
I wasn't going for a theme, but
you have
behold.
One. Yeah.
This movie is a blast. The effects for the body they create are great. The uncle comes back as a brain in a jar, which is some classic 80s schlock.
I forgot about that, yeah.
He's a brain in a jar, and his eyeballs are attached to it.
That's right, I remember
he
it.
He keeps telling his kids, the kids that are they're in their 20s, they're like, "Don't do what I did. I thought with my penis, and I fucked everything up.
That's right.
Don't be horny." And it's like, they're like cutting up women, and like it's so silly and dumb.
Right.
But like, I like that constant reminder, like, I was weak and I failed because I was horny. Don't be horny. And they're like, okay. And the cops are very stereotypical that are after them.
Right.
It's a lot of cliche things. The rival diner cook who goes and is a ventriloquist who walks around with he keeps a dummy in his at his counter so people think there are people eating there, and he actually does the voice for him.
Yep, I remember the stat. Yeah.
But what is great is he eventually breaks into their diner and figures out that they're feeding people humans.
Yeah.
With all the body parts that are left over. And he figures it out, and they take the dummy hostage, and he does the voice for the dummy while he's trying to escape and fight them. And it is the funniest fucking thing ever. He's like, "Oh my God, he's got me." And it's like very bad voice, but like real ventriloquism.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, man, I remember
he's
that.
Like, "Oh my God, oh my God." And he's like doing the struggle while he's running away. It's so good.
It's, yeah, I remember this movie, and it, like you nailed it, is it's so absolutely absurd that while there is a lot of things that are on the graphic side, you can tell it's doing it to pump back into like the cartoony or over the top crazy. Like it's really trying to be like, we're not taking this seriously. We understand there's some subject matter and some things in here that are ridiculous, but we're trying to kind of take the piss out of it a little bit with all
for
this kind
sure.
of stuff. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, for sure. This movie is a blast. It does culminate in a nightclub scene, which is bizarre and just needs to be seen. I like it. I like the effects. And I think this is an 80s staple that more people need to know about.
I think that's fair to say.
So my love fest for this movie is officially over. Let's go to the scores. IMDb gave it a 5.3.
Okay.
The critics, 7 of them went back to Blood Diner, which is impressive enough. They gave it a 57%.
Okay. Not terrible for critics.
No. The audience, 500 plus, gave it 50%.
Okay.
I gave this movie a 7.
Okay.
My wife didn't technically watch this movie. She came and sat down during the middle of the movie. She basically watched the second third of the movie.
Okay.
And she couldn't walk away because she was so like enthralled with what she was watching.
Fair enough.
She goes, "What in the 7 hells are you actually watching?" And she couldn't look away. And she's like, "I'm too tired. I have to go to bed, but this is amazing."
That's
so. And
great.
My wife hates horror, so it was fun.
Positive partial review.
That's right.
I like that. I also have a horror comedy film.
You sure do.
This one I watched on Halloween, 10/31 of 24.
That's nice.
This movie came out in 2004, 20 years ago.
20-isode.
Oh my gosh. This is the Edgar Wright directed Shaun of the Dead.
How have we not done this?
I know. I checked 3 times.
It feels wrong.
I know. I was like, there's no way. There's no way we let this go. Because you watched Hot Fuzz.
Right. And you did End of the
Scott Pilgrim for sure, and World's End.
World's End. World's End you did, yeah.
So it's like we just kind of didn't ever get to Shaun of the Dead?
I guess.
So
we'll do it again.
The
we'll
last
be
of
double
the,
thorough if we
yeah,
need to be.
Right? This is the last of the, or the first and the last for the podcast of the Cornetto trilogy.
That's so weird. I thought you did the whole thing.
Yeah, I could have swore I had to.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's all good.
Fuck it, we'll do it again.
The cast, of course, Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright, Nick Frost, Katie Ashfield. Oh, there's such a good cast for this
yeah.
movie. Your summary, if you're unfamiliar. The uneventful, aimless lives of a London electronic salesman and his layabout roommate are disrupted by a zombie apocalypse. This is such a good little summary for it because it's absolutely what happens.
Yep.
They're just kind of doing their thing, both kind of underperforming from what they could be doing.
Of course.
Their routine is unfortunately disrupted by a zombie apocalypse.
Whatever shall they do?
It's great. I love that the routine is kind of like you watch Sean go through his day, and then you watch Sean go through his day a second time, and then you watch Sean go through his day after the apocalypse has now begun, and he's just kind of ignored a large chunk of it. And then you have to watch him essentially attempt to have his day in the midst of the apocalypse, which is go visit his mom and then eventually get to the pub. He also has to go visit his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like so incredibly hilarious that a zombie apocalypse barely gets in the way of the routine that he's so firmly carved in for himself.
There's definitely people that would be like that in an apocalypse.
Yep. I love when he's just like, he goes to grab the Cornettos, which is like an ice cream cone thing, and he opens up the wall, like the freezer door, and it's like covered in blood. He doesn't notice because he's looking down, and he slips in a puddle of blood, and he just kind of keeps going and doesn't even give it a second thought.
Yeah.
Leaves money on the counter for the guy because he's not around, because I guess just sometimes the guy who runs, you know, in the corner store is not around, and just continues his way about. And it's just so funny. Like, it's so smart too, because as the routine goes, you see the same people, but then eventually you see them as zombies, or you see them getting attacked, or you see them not feeling well, or you see them missing or destroyed, and like just parts of their body there. It's so absolutely smart. Like, that I know that Peg and Wright both wrote on this film.
Mm-hmm.
And they do such a good job of constantly having callbacks, constantly doing great set pieces. There is dozens of references to classic zombie films in this particular movie.
Yep.
I think that it was interesting watching it with Sam because she hadn't seen it before or hadn't seen it in a long time. And Nick Frost, she hated the character so much. It was so funny to watch because everyone around Sean knows that he's being drugged down.
By him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he, like, Sean just, like, refuses to acknowledge it because it's, like, his best friend.
It's his,
like,
best mate, man.
Yeah. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, okay, he's a shiftless layabout, but occasionally he's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's just so many little hallmarks when he comes back home from work and they're like, and he's like panicking because he forgot to set a dinner reservation. And he's like, can't you tell I cleaned up? And there's like nothing that's been moved whatsoever. And he's just saying he cleaned up just so that Sean will parrot that he cleaned up to their other roommate. It's like, it's so smart and it's so absolutely identifiable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can absolutely identify Sean or Ed. And I think at times we tend to be them, both of those characters. And it's like, the difference is at a point we stop and we call ourselves out. Like, you can't just lie around all day. You can't just fart around playing video games all day.
Or shouldn't.
No, shouldn't. But it's like, you'd love to sometimes. Like, I just right. love to just sit and go away and nobody bother me and I get to just do what I want. We don't get to do that very often as adults.
No, you got
to
take a day.
Yeah. And it's just, it's fun to see that concept mushed into the zombie apocalypse.
Was this Edgar Wright's breakout?
It was not his first film, and he had worked on television before this.
Was he in Spaced?
Spaced was okay. Was Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright's first really big thing, and then okay. they wrote this.
I knew Simon Pegg was in Spaced. I couldn't remember if Edgar Wright was a writer on it.
He was the director for a lot of it, and they both okay. wrote on it, along with Jessica Hines Stevenson, who is also in this movie. She's the girl that he runs into in the beginning, and then later on, where she has like a troop of people that looks just like their group, and then she ends up rescuing him at the end with the military. And that's like the girl she runs into. How are you? I'm surviving. And then later they run into each other in the middle of the apocalypse. How you doing? Surviving. It's like, it's just so funny how all that works. I think that the relationship he has with his stepdad is really compelling. His mom and the relationship he has with his mom and like the tension they have back and forth. And the fact that the conversations don't change, even though he's like trying to get them out of the house during an apocalypse. And it's like, you can tell they've had these kind of same conversations retreaded and retreaded because he doesn't get along with his stepdad. And then he finds out Bill Nye is the stepdad, and he tells him that, like, you know, he was just trying to be there for him and trying to get him to kind of man up and be the guy he knows he can be. And so it's like this touching moment. It's so good. The constant references, his mom's name's Barbara, so at one point he yells, "We're coming to get you, Barbara." Ed yells that into the phone, which is a reference to Night of the Living Dead.
Nice.
It's just so good. They get, and like the whole, that the best plan he can come up with is to go to the the pub, which is the thing that got him into hot water with his girlfriend in the beginning of the movie, because all he wants to do is just lay about, work, make enough money to survive and go to the pub every night. And his plan for the zombie apocalypse is to survive and go to the pub at night. It's just top notch. And the fact like he's so into it is good. There's like the little call outs about the bar is the Winchester, and there's a gun above the bar that's a Winchester, and like there's like all this talk that it's a working gun, and then it ends up actually being a working gun.
Bars have good doors, double doors sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
strong doors for an apocalypse. It's not the worst idea.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, it's just the whole thing's great. Everybody, like the characters are all really compelling, and you end up digging into them over time. It doesn't feel vomity. It never really gets too deep into the exposition. Like, and it's done in a funny way. Like the zombie apocalypse, you kind of catch because it's stitched together as he's channel surfing, because he just doesn't want to watch the news and all that's on is the news.
Right.
So it's just like you're catching pieces of what's going on, and you as the audience put it together, and he's too stupid to realize it. So he's just channel surfing and gets frustrated with the fact that there's nothing on but news and moves on. It's like so good. I mean, everything's good. Them trying to fend off two zombies with records. Like, there's so many little moments and set pieces in this movie that are absolutely hysterical. Like them trying to fight all the zombies in the bar when Queen's Don't Stop Me Now is blaring.
Oh God, yeah, I forgot about that.
Like, it's so, like, to me it's just so absurd, but yet somehow so believable.
Yep.
That it hits this perfect balance of, like, you know what? I could totally see that being people in the apocalypse. Like you said earlier, it just really just checks the mark. And who would have thought that those kind of things would mush together so well? So it's just, I really think it's a testament to how well it was executed by Wright and Pegg here. Just, there's a reason this movie's referenced constantly. So it's become an absolute, like, if you talk about horror comedies, somebody in the discussion will bring this up very quickly into the discussion.
You have to. It's
up there with Evil Dead. It's
top,
up there.
Top 10?
Oh, horror comedies, without a doubt. Probably top five.
Probably top five.
It's
I agree with that.
It's so, so good. IMDb gives it a 7.9 out of 10.
Idiots.
It's a little low, but for IMDb, not too shabby. Once you start to get to that, very high sevens, it's like, okay, a lot of people like this movie.
That's true.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 220 of them. What do you think the critics would make of Shaun of the Dead?
I think they're going to be low. I think they're going to give it like 75.
92.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, thank God. 220 critics too. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Audience, 250,000 plus, 93%.
Yeah, I figured that would be high.
Yeah. Pretty awesome stuff. I think this movie is just so funny. It's so relatable. It's so human. It's just, it's peak. It's just so cynical, but yet lovingly cynical. Just an absolute check mark for me. Sam watched it with me. She gave it an 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it a 9.5.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, movie's excellent. You're just not going to get much better. It's infinitely quotable.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. It's awesome. Just an absolute treat every time I watch it. I find some other little thing that just makes me chuckle.
It's a zombie movie about the human condition.
You got red on you.